Okay. But anyways, good evening. So we anyway, so posted two connections. One of them is this picture from the Megillah, right? So somebody local sent me this picture asking me about the line in the middle. You see about five lines up where it says Bishloshavi Esrim. What's the next word?
Five lines up.
Five lines up on the Megillah picture.
Ben,
right. So that's not the word. The word is bo. Bishlosha v'esrim, bo, v'kaseh v'chloshu tziva, right? So he asked me, does that make the Megillah puzzle? So I said, well, there's a whole issue. You know, Megillahs are not so easy to make puzzle because you only need half of, you only need 51% of it to exist. Now, does that mean that a Megillah that is... that it actually has wrong things, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what exactly is the line. But for this, that would have been easy to fix. We could just shave off the bottom to make it into a Vav. But the truth is I would shave off a little bit more, and I would make it into a Yud, and then add some ink in order to make it a Vav, in order to avoid a problem of Chok Tuchos, in order to avoid the problem of shaving out in order to create a letter. So I was like, that's not a problem, but I think your Megillah might have a problem for another reason. Can anybody see what that other reason might be?
The extra
lines, correct. So I'm not sure what exactly the sofer was doing. Now, if you look, I don't know if you could see so clearly. I guess So you see that there's a pretty large gap between the Hahi line and the Bishlosha line. And then the Bishlosha line to the Tziva line, right? So I'm not sure what happened here. I have a feeling the Sofer wrote, I don't know, you see, there are Sirtut. You can see the Sirtut engraved. But I think he was like, he might have mismeasured his lineage or something. Because it's probably, he put one line in a space where there's supposed to be two lines. I think that... Right, and you see, he tried covering it up at the end, right? That too.
Right. Look at the letter, like Hamelech, on the two lines up. Every letter is a different.
Yes.
But he tried to cover it up below
that. Well, because see, the word Achashtar Panim is kind of slanted downwards. You see, the early part of the line, the Tziva, is a few millimeters up from the Urea. And by the end of the line, he's below that line.
It's squished. Then it's slanting down. It's like the letters are squished together.
Right, right. So that too, there's plenty of problems with this just in terms of the Ksav. I mean, the Yuds don't have the Kotso Shel Yuds that we talked about. It's a bunch of issues. But I'm not sure any of them would actually passel a Megillah. The biggest, But this line thing is a big problem, because the Ramah does say that if it's missing half the words, and it's then it could be that it's still permissible. However, the one thing that the Ramah is makbid on is that there not be any psuchos in the entire Megillah. I never actually realized this, but every break in a Megillah is only a stuma. It's not a psucha, right? It's only a gap. It's not a end of a paragraph. And that's actually, and the Ramah says, because that's a din in Igeret, that Igeret keeps reading, and therefore every gap is only going to be a stuma, is going to only be a gap and not a, right, and not an end of the line, not a pay. So remember what we learned, if you have a gap at the end of the line, right, if you get to the end of the line and now you have to write that was the Machlokas Rambam and Rush about, you should then skip a line, right? So if this is actually a skipped line, that's an insertion of a psucha where it doesn't belong, and B, it's a psucha in general, right? The Ramah says you're not supposed to have any psuchos in the entire Megillah. So for that reason, and if you do, says the Ramah, the Megillah is pasul. So is that considered to be a... Right.
But it just like put them all even and left the space at the bottom.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the thought was. So I sent this to my Magia in Eretz Yisrael, who wrote back all of these problems. I was like, and the yuds aren't right, and the other letters aren't right, and there are smushes, and whatever. And you're right, it might be a psucha issue. I was like, yeah, but the letter is missing. One can make a case that the Megillah is kasher b'di'evet at least, but a skipped line, the Ramah says it's puzzle. So he said, good point. Let me ask this to people. So he sent it to two mumchim, one of which actually sent it to Rabbi Mendlowitz, who's the author of the book Inside Stam that we use. So that was one of them, and he sent it to someone else as well. And both of them thought that the Megillah is probably pasul. So I shared that, and we'll see what happens. But anyways, that's the Stuma Psucha application with Purim coming up.
Can it be fixed?
So that was my question. I was wondering, so can I add on to the, can I add on ink and sort of make the letters bigger, right? Can you add on to the base? And how much would you have to add on? Meaning, if let's say I would just take the lamids and raise the lamids or lower the, do something like that, would that make it kosher? So I didn't get a clear answer on that, but it's not the person he's for it. It's for a shul, this person. They have two other Megillas, so it should be okay. So I don't.
That's
it's not necessary.
Over the bathroom, right?
Yeah, it looks like some kind of smudge, a finger. I don't know if it's ink or it's ketchup or chocolate. I don't know.
Well, you've just gotten the picture. You haven't seen the actual Megillah.
Right. Someone just forwarded me the picture. So, okay. What?
Is it old?
Yeah, I'm sure it's an older Megillah. They don't make Megillahs like that, as you know, Sam. These days. A couple of things for tonight. So last week we did Reishayin Vav. Reishayin Vav is the sort of collection of different details that can show up with regards to the writing. So one could spend the next 2 months on it, but I figured we'd move on from there. And let's just do the end of Reishayin Vav. So on the source sheet, I think I put on Shulchan Aruch Reishayin Vav, because the Shulchan Aruch is just quoting a Gemara. The Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch is not actually quoting the Gemara. That's part of the problem. The Shulchan Aruch here says, "Klisha haya kasuv alav shem kotzeitz makom hashem vegonza." Right, that if you have a vessel that has the shem of Hashem written on it, kotzeitz makom hashem, you should carve out the place where the shem of Hashem was, and gonzo, and put that shem Hashem into shemus. So the problem is that that's not an exact quote from the Gemara. The Gemara's quote, this is a Gemara in Maseches, in Maseches Shabbos, actually says, if you have the Shem of Hashem written on the handle or on the leg of a bed, so then what you should do is you should carve out the Shem of Hashem, a handle, it sounds like a handle of a pot, you should carve out the Shem of Hashem and then throw it out. So if you look here at the Piskei Teshuva at the bottom, he says here, Chaf Hei, Klishaya Kasav Alav. So he says, I am B'tshuvos, I don't know who, Panam Iros, Chelik Beis, Sofsim Kuflam Beis, B'davar Shechakaku Chevras Kavranim Al Kosos Shel Zechuchis. That the Chevra of Burial, I don't know if this is the Chevra Kedisha, it was like a fundraiser or something, that they drew Psukim into glass cups, Sheshosim behem, which they would drink from. I mean, they carved glass. They carved into the glass the Shem Hashem. V'huzal pilpul bazeh, the be'emes lashon ha'gemara haya. And he, I'm sorry, one second. Shem Avaya uksivas va'asar lehem rav echad, and some rav asered it lishdos behem to drink it. And he quoted this din in Shulchan Aruch, right? That if you have a kli that has the Shem of Hashem engraved into it, so you gotta get rid of the Shem of Hashem and you gotta put it in Geniza, implying that the usage of it itself would be considered a bizayon. He says, V'hu zal, however, but the author of the Sefer, the Panami Eros, Pilpul Bazeh, he wondered about this. He says, D'be'emes, Lashon HaGemara, the language of the Gemara, Hayasham, Kasuval Yados HaKelim, was that if you tzrit, the Shem of Hashem is written on the handle of the Kelim. V'yesh Lomar, meaning, T'dafka B'yados, that only the handles, Shu Makum B'zayun, that that's a place of B'zayun. Shu Yadei HaKol Misham Shebehem, V'yavo Lidei Mechika. That, because your hands are going to be all over it, and it's going to come to erase it eventually. V'chein Bekari Hamitas. Another example of the Gemara is the legs of a bed, right? That's considered also a Makum B'zayun. That's not considered like a nice place. Aval Al HaKli Mechubad, but if you put the Shem of Hashem on a chash of a kli, this kli, the halaga, the Chevra Kadisha crystal membership, they must have given, 1,800 rubles or something, and that entitled them to the crystal with the Shem of Hashem written on it. So maybe that would be okay. Yishlomer demutter lishtamish, but maybe that would be okay. Kiven da Hashem shalobim mekomo, enu mekadesh kol hakli, because the Shem that's not in its place is not mekadesh the entire kli. V'isser shimush hu b'shvil b'zayun Hashem. And maybe the only isser of shimush is because of the b'zayun to the Shem. But if it's there in a kavodik way, maybe aval hecha she'enu b'zayun Hashem, but it's not a b'zayun, mutri lishtamish bo. Maybe it would be permitted to use it. V'im kein kashal Rambam v'amachaber. And if so, the question is on the Rambam and the Machaber. Shekasfu kli. Right, but they used the words kli. The Gemara didn't use the words kli. That's the language of the Rambam. The Rambam used the word kli. So that's his question. However, he says, however, you don't think you should be making on this. Kach v'dasu nota lichroch al makom ksivas Hashem nimonios shel zahav o shel meshi v'yaz mutu lishtos min hakelim b'lishum pipa. But he thought that if you kind of cover up the name with gold or in some nice way, then it would be mutter without any problem. Okay, so that is that's the issue. I can imagine this coming up, meaning if you have like the challah covers that have the bracha written on it. So I think most say baruch atah hey with a smitchik, right? But let's say you would say the Shem of Hashem, or, and I think we'll get into this a little bit later, was the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah.
Kiddush cup could have the bracha on it,
Right. So all of those, in any case where you have the bracha, so if it actually has the Shem of Hashem, that's this tshuva. And even if you say, well, it doesn't have the actual Shem of Hashem, it only has a hey or a dalet or something like that. So they suggest, so we'll get into it at the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, discusses some of the halachos of Shemus, but that might also be a problem. But that might also be, I mean, anything representative of the Shemus, even the English letters, G-O-D, might be considered a problem. In fact, in the Bemara HaBazak, in the Tshuvos that we've been learning from between Mincha and Maariv, from the Eretz Chemda Kolel, I've only been doing the tshuvos between Mincha Maariv that fit on a page or two that I can actually fit in that amount of time. So I've been skipping the longer ones, but they actually have a longer tshuva about a dollar bill that a dollar bill has on it, in God we trust, and maybe in God we trust you shouldn't. Maybe you should be careful with it and shouldn't carry it into a bathroom. In which case, you got to leave your wallet outside the. Right, so they paskin not that way. They paskin the only issue might be if a Jew prints it, not if a non-Jew prints it, and certainly if they don't have any kavanah, whatever. What? Right. Anyways, your wallet would be a covering to it, and you have your wallet in your pocket, right? So you have a double covering, so the lechora should be okay anyways. That's true. But anyways, that's
actually had to get rid of it because it was getting old,
but
we cut it out.
Right. I think you might have asked, was that me? Was that my time?
I think we asked you.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So then the Ramah then comes up with some other halacha. He says, V'yasur lichtuv shem l'charchila, shalo b'sefer. He says, and by the way, you shouldn't use the shem of Hashem at all in a sefer. The yochol lavo lidei b'zayon, that could lead to a b'zayon. And therefore, we should be careful not to write the shame of Hashem on an igeres, on a letter. V'yish nizharin afilu b'milas shalom, shalom ligmur k'sivaso. And some even are machped about the word shalom, right? That you shouldn't include that in your writing, because that would be considered a shame Hashem on an igeres. Meaning the problem is that if you put the shame Hashem on a letter, so the letter gets thrown out. So by the way, this also then, what about, that's the Bet Samach Dalet Beis Hey question on the top. The Beis Samach Dalet is not, the Beis Hey is a sort of more Baruch Hashem, an emblematic actual name of Hashem, while Beis Samach Dalet B'Siyat Dishmaya is perhaps a allusion to Hashem. So that's why the Beis Samach Dalet wins out over the Beis Hey, according to many. And then there's also other, so Rav Shechter is Machvid, I think. Right, so invitations. Correct, yeah, you care about invitations. And some are even mocked, besides the shame of Hashem, also even putting psukim on might be a problem. So putting on top of a wedding invitation, Od Yishama Biara Yehuda V'chutzas Yerushalayim, so many say that would be a problem. However, some suggest Kol Sason V'Kol Simcha would not be a problem, because that's only the second half of a pasuk. That's only like alluding, you're not trying to put down the entire pasuk. But starting in the beginning of a pasuk, so some are makbid not to put psukim on invitations, that's based on this on this Ramah. Okay, that's right. If you put Hashem's name in, it would be possible. Yeah, okay.
Wait, did we say last time that the Yud Yod is not really Hashem's name? I heard you say that.
Yeah, I think that was...
probably no worse than a dollar or a hay, but this one.
Yeah, it did come up last time.
It's not really Hashem's name, you don't find that.
Right, I think that might be the equivalent of writing, right, it's really an allusion, it's probably an abbreviation of Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's probably, okay. Actually, yeah, I'm not sure, I think it was in a Piskei Tshuva, which was about 50 lines and pretty thick, I think that's where it was. Okay, so here are the Piskei Tshuva, I skipped Chaf Vav, Chaf Zayin. He quotes here from, go to Chaf Vav, Chaf Ches, excuse me. So Chaf Ches, yeah, so Shalom. So he said here at the end that you shouldn't write Shalom. So he says, V'ayin, ayin v'shari tshuva, in Or Chaim, deru di'alma ein nizer. The most people aren't careful about it. So, what do you mean, not careful? So he says, V'ayin v'tshuvas redbaz, right, Shekasev Damashiyeshli Zahir, that what the Ramah was talking about being careful on was Hainu Bizmanch Sheela Shalom. When it actually was, when Sheela Shalom meant Sheela Shalom. The Va'osa Shah Mischavin Late Shalom Lechavero Me'es Baal HaShalom. That used to be when people said Shalom Aleichem. So nowadays Shalom Aleichem means hello to you. And back in the good old days, it was a bracha that, you know, Hashem should be with you. Shalom representing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. As Boaz said to the Kotzrim, Hashem imachem, that Hashem should be with you. Aval im ba lichtov sheyesh shalom ba'olam. But if you just write, let there be peace in the world, bein ploni l'ploni, there should be peace between, him and Reuven and Shimon, v'chayotzi bazesh hu sipur dvarim, that you don't have to be careful about. You're not being careful about the shame. And that's the same thing. You're allowed to write the word truth. Truth represents the name of Hashem. Yeah, but if you just want to say ze emes, right? This is truth. So then that would be okay. But yeah, but to be careful about the shame Hashem and allusions to Hashem's name, it sounds like it would be a problem. Again, there'll be more about these details. I think a little in a couple of simanim. So we'll try to fill in some of those gaps later on. Okay, so Reishai and Zion.
Before you go, I had a question, although it's probably an off-the-wall question.
Yeah.
I remember my uncle telling me when I was a kid that a sofer, before he writes Hashem's name in the Torah, he goes to the mikvah, the other Arabs.
There is an idea out there of such a thing, yes. Yeah. Yes.
He would have to go quite a few times.
I would advocate him have a mikvah pretty close by. I think
okay,
no. I think, let me see, does he... Yeah, Mikvah 73. I believe, yeah, Rav Mendelowitz has something about that here. Mikvah. A number of sources mention the concept of a sofer immersing in the mikvah before writing a stam item. Oh, sorry. Mikvah, on Rav Mendelowitz's sefer on page 73, a number of sources mention the concept of a sofer immersing in the mikvah before writing stam, or Hashem, or the Shem Hashem within one. While different communities follow, what are these sources? So he says, Chida, Keser HaSofer, Aruch HaShulchan. Wow, I am Mishnah Sofer. So apparently Aruch HaShulchan has such a concept. Let me take a quick look, if we can pull it up quickly, if it's Aruch Chaim. Someone said Simon Lamed Beis, to write the entire parshas of tefillin straight without interruption. Or at least not to have any separation between the first and second parsha, or between the third and fourth. And if you separate bein shnia l'shlishis, kishmarcha lichtov ashlishis, yavor akumus al tevas rishonu shal parsha rishonu v'shnia, v'achach yichtov, some way of connecting them. That's a hiddur. You could be makbid on that. You should write them betara sheyitbol betumas keri. V'yichtuv aparshas ritzufim mishal yad v'chei mishal rosh. About behefsik bein shal yad l'shal rosh. Liyadati akpedes shere shnei mitzvos hein v'cholza inen alikuv. Okay, so he mentions the idea of going to the mikvah, not the idea of Shem Hashem. Apparently, that would be in some of these other sources. Yeah, oh, so he says, while different communities follow different customs in this regard, it would be a hiddur for the sofer to immerse in a mikvah, at least when impure, so as to write in a purified state. And that's his, he has this mesorah. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Different communities have different chumras about this, but he said it would be a hiddur if the sofer goes to the mikvah when he's actually tamei. Which would mean, referring to whenever we would have relations with his wife, so then he should go to the mikvah, he should be makbid on that. That's his suggestion here. Okay. all right, so Reishai and Zion here. So Reishai and Zion is, as you see, one sif. And it's interesting that the Torah quotes it that way. It's actually from a Gemara in Maseches Eruvin. So the Shulchan Aruch here says, "Kasav ha'yiriya uvala hanicha kadesh tisbayish," that you're writing a yiriya, and you want to leave it so that it dries, right? So lo ye, what?
Tisyabesh, yeah.
You have misyabesh, not tisyabesh?
Tisyabesh, but you said tisbayish, doesn't?
Oh, tisyabesh. Okay. So lo yafo chaksav lamata. So you should not turn the cloth over. Even though your kavana might be that that dust not come on it, alaksav. Still, to turn it upside down is a bizayon. But rather, it should be facing up. And if you want to avoid the dust coming on it, just cover it with some kind of garment, and that will solve your dust problem. So where does this come from? So that it gets its own sif, meaning it, one thing to say, like, oh yeah, it's a tzeichel, but it's actually the Gemara in Meseches in Meseches Eruvin. There's a Mishnah at the end that discusses if you're sitting on a roof and you're reading your scroll on Shabbos afternoon, right? And lo and behold, you right, the scroll rolls away and you're holding one end and the other end comes down. So if it's above 10 tefachim, you could just roll it up, and if it's below 10 tefachim, so you should you have to leave it. That's going to be an Erev problem to pull it back up. So rather than turn it upside down, the Gemara says you should leave it up with and try to cover it. But I think Rashi makes a comment of if you're unable to do that, meaning you don't happen to have an extra beged around, he says you could cover it up. Meaning you could turn it upside down in order so that it not get dirty. So there is so the whole thing is really based off of kavod, but it is giving us a detail that it's not bekavodik to leave a Torah to leave it face down, rather it should be face up. Now I didn't I meant to try looking. I didn't see anything about about the where this is connected to Svarim, meaning there is an idea, right? I remember, you know, in elementary school, they tell you, you should always leave your Svarim facing up, not facing down. So remember, a chavrus of mine pointed out, he says, but yeah, but if you leave it facing up, half the pages are facing down. And the same thing if you do it the other way. So I'm not sure. It could be that you could look around and find an actual makor for it, but I haven't yet found that there actually is a makor that is safe for itself. You should be makbid that it's facing up and not facing down.
There's also a hierarchy for stacking books, right? I mean, the holier books are on top, even if they're bigger, the pile isn't right.
Yes. So that does exist. Everybody also point out with that does exist. That's in Or HaChaim. Maybe it's here also, but it's definitely in Or HaChaim where that's discussed. However, the sefer you're using always gets precedent, right? That's also keep in mind. So if you're using a sefer to put something else on top, right? So you are permitted to hold the sefer you're using, even if it's a chumash that's underneath it. Okay, so the shachir. My safer here hit the keyboard. Okay. So anyways, Vachori Haklaf Lamala. V'chasav Abach. So V'chasav Abach Dem Yerushalmi Dem Megillah Yesh Lomot Shelo Yelech Adam Lechutz V'yineach HaSefer Pachos. So he quotes from the Bach that from a Yerushalmi it sounds like that you also shouldn't, a person shouldn't leave and leave his safer open. Im Ein Alav Mape. If he doesn't have anything to cover it with. The lav davka sefer Torah, do a din shar svarim. That's not just a sefer Torah. That would apply to other svarim as well. So to leave svarim open when one leaves, so that is a problem. I remember I had a chavrusa who was very makvid on this. Every time he would.
What? What constitutes?
Yeah, what constitutes leaving? I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. I would assume it means a hesach hadas, not a leaving to even, you know, to go to the restroom or, to whatever. I would assume it means leaving and ending your study session, right? V'lo hayat tzarech limu kim Yerushalmi. And the Shach says, you don't have to learn out from Yerushalmi. De'muchanam mishas dilan. That's learned out from our Gemara. Be'irvin b'mishna v'shash sham. That you see that you're not supposed to leave the sefer open unless there's a purpose to it, unless it's being left to dry, or unless it's being, or unless you can't pull it up because you would violate a din on Shabbos. But then he concludes, and I don't know, maybe, I think I recall hearing this as like, a thing. V'yadua l'chachme ha'emes, the people who know the truth. Sheyesh malach echad nikra, that there is a malach out there, nikra shade. Shade is usually the term used for a demon, but shin dalid v'hu, shomer dafin, he who keeps track of the pages. Al mi shemaniach sefer pasuach, and he keeps track of those people who leave their Sfarim open and leave. And he points out, and he says, and they will forget their learning. Who here has heard of this? Yeah? Okay. You forget your learning. So is that like, you think it's like something that like who knows where it came from? Shach quotes it. Like that's not like, that's prime real estate up there. The Shach quotes this idea. So you should be makvid to, speaking of which, I have like 10 Sfarim open right here in front of me, but that's the din that the Shach quotes. Okay. all right, so let's try to do a little bit here in Reish Ayin Ches. So Reish Ayin Ches, we get back into the structure of the Sefer Torah itself. We start talking about the sewing of it. Okay, so let's take a look in the tour first on All right, let's do that. So if you take a look at the tour, which is page 2 on the source sheet, so the tour says that ein tofrin sefer Torah ela begide behema o chaya tahora shiruya lichtav ba'odan, that one is not permitted to sew the sefer Torah except for with the sinews of a behema. Or a chaya tahora, or a chaya that's tahor, meaning kosher, shiruya lichtav ba'oron, which you could write on their skin. Now, remember what we learned, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a kosher shechted one, or it can't be a treifa, it just has to be from a kosher animal. In fact, I was listening to a shir last week while running, or Shechter gave a shir, Hilchos Sefer Torah, so it actually We're doing pretty well in that. I don't think we've done anything wrong. But he mentioned that that somebody asked, I think, the Ger Rebbe, that he's makbid, that he wanted to get a haskalah, he wanted to get like a letter, I think it was like a letter saying that he's a good sofer or something. So he told the, I think it was the Ger Rebbe, the Svas Emes, that, and I'm makbid to only use klafim from kosher shechted animals, right? I don't rely on nevela, I only use shechted animals. So this, so he said as chumrah. So the Svas, I think it was the Svas Emes, responded to him. He said, A, I'm not sure, the A is the obvious part. He's like, you don't want to necessarily be, you know, that's one of these motzi laz ala rishonim. You know, there's no makor for that chumrah. And he says, B, he says he thinks you should be makbet to dafka use nevelos and to use trefos. Why? Anybody can think of why? You got to think like a chassid. Why might it be better to use... he says, because these animals were put on this world to serve a kaddish purpose. So if they're shechted and they're eaten, so then that's their purpose. He says, but if they, but if they're nevelos or trefos, so they're not going to be eaten. So what's going to be with them? So a way to raise up those animals would be to use their skins for stam. So that way they're elevated in this they're elevated in this world. So my father might recall that that was part of the answer that Rabbi Unger related to us, the rabbi of it, when we were by a relative's non-Orthodox bar mitzvah. So we were discussing something with the non-Orthodox rabbi who mentioned that he was walking through the Israeli airport, Ben Gurion Airport, and a Lubavitch kid asked him if he had put on. He had put on tefillin that day. So he responded by saying, I'll have you know that I don't wear tefillin because I'm a complete vegetarian. And the thought of davening with an animal hide wrapped around my arm, I don't find that, I can't see myself doing that. To which the chassid, the little Babager kid, like the teenager, responded by saying, he says, what do you mean? He says, I don't wear leather belts. I don't wear leather shoes. Right? That was what this person said. So the Lubavitcher kid said to him, he said, I understand with the belts and the shoes, but here an animal is just an animal. But if an animal is turned into tefillin, so then it's an animal that was turned into tefillin. So this conservative rabbi responded by saying, oh, I thought that was a good answer. So that day I put on tefillin. So whatever. Anyways, it's fine. So that is the anyways, the same way that that a kosher that the skin has to be kosher. So too the giddin have to be kosher. Now I feel I don't understand. These are my roll of giddin here. I don't know if you could. See it, right? But you know, you've seen. If you have trouble seeing it, you can look at your tefillin also, right? It's used to wrap the tefillin, right? I can't understand how it's made. I mean, it's the sinews that are pulled out of the animal. Apparently, the giddin are made by there's like one or two families that like have the secret on how to make giddin, and they don't share it with anybody. I thought I had a picture of it in a different safer I have, but then I looked at it before. I couldn't find it. So there might be. Yeah, some kind of spinning process. I don't know. I don't know. They are. If you do, it does split. Meaning the. Where's my end here? If you, I don't want to pull it apart. But it is more than one gid that is there, right? It's smaller ones that are spun together. But how exactly to dry it and those details and treat it and dry it. It's like a secret. It's like a family secret, and there's a couple of factories that do it, and that's it.
What about like guitar strings? You know, cat gut. They were made out of sinews at one time.
Okay.
Instruments, right?
All right.
I don't know what the technology is, but I assume it's pretty well known.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe, or it could be no one else gets involved. I don't know. I mean, a roll like this, although this is probably half used already, I have no idea how much is on it. It cost about $80, I think. or so. I'm not sure what the measure is. Okay.
I don't know whether cat gut is the same as sinews.
There must be a patent document.
I'm sure there are many.
So the Pisrei Tshuva actually, the Pisrei Tshuva actually raised the question of, could you use a Gid Hanasha for this? That's the question, right? Because the Gid Hanasha itself isn't, you can't eat. So maybe that's different. That's a Shaila that the Pisrei Tshuva raises. I'm over here. So that's number one. He says, Velo Yidfor Kol HaYiriyah, and then he adds in, this is actually, so, yep. Sorry about that. Okay, so the tour continues. So first of all, if you just notice in the Beis Yosef, the first line about the sewing of the Sefer Torah Begidin is not actually in a Gemara. It's from the Masechta Sofrim. So it's right, but the Gemara does say Velo Yidfor Kol Hayiriya Meirosha Lesofa El Yaniach Berosha Maat Uvesofa Maat Shelo Yehi Tafor. The Gemara does say that when you sew the cloth together, meaning this, you sew the panels together, you shouldn't sew all the way to the top and all the way to the bottom. You should leave a little bit of a gap, and that's the Gemara in Megillah, so that it doesn't tear. And they explain that if you I think Rashi there comments because if you pull the Sefer Torah too tight, you'll be able to see the top spreading before the middle does, and that's how you'll know that it's too tight, and therefore it won't tear apart. You'll notice in the Beis Yosef, the Ran says that if you don't do this, he doesn't think it apostles a Sefer Torah. I mean, it's not ma'akev, it's just like an etza. It's a good advice of which to do. But if you look at the Sefer Torah, the holes that are made, I mean, I've never actually made the holes from scratch, but I have re-sewn panels, so I'm pretty much just sewing into holes that were already there. So those holes don't go all the way to the top. They go, I don't know, about a centimeter from the top as a fulfillment of this din. So take a look at the... Actually, I didn't check before, but I have Megillah here, and I got you a nice case, and now it's harder to get out. So I'm looking here, right? So there is a little bit of a gap on the top. There's about a centimeter up there at the top and the bottom that is not sewn. Okay, and then we next. So uvatikun datfira shal hashol meyadoni Avrash. Now, in terms of how to sew, so that was a question that was asked from my father, the Rush, and the Beis Yosef gives you the makom. It's in one of the tshuvas of the Rush. It says todi'ene inyan hatfira kimitoch haGemara mashma sheish latofra mibachutz. That from the Gemara, it sounds like you sew it from the outside. Now, I don't know what Gemara is quoting from. I don't know what Gemara that is, but it sounds like you sew on the outside. So what does that mean on the outside? Let me just show it now. That the in between panels is a Megillah, but it's the same thing in the Sefer Torah, right? In between panels, it's sewn on the outside, right? You can see the, I don't know if you could see or not, but you can see the Gidin here and here. Meaning, oh, you could, right? That if you, right, when you look at the Gidin, you could see, there is the picture. There you go. Right, it's sewn like that at the bottom. So you can only really see the Gidin when you look behind the Megillah, not in the front. Right, the front it's plain. Okay, so that's the way it's done in a Sefer Torah as well as a Megillah. So they asked the Rush. He says, you know, I know from the Gemara it sounds like that they tie only on the outside, but I see a lot of places shein tofrin v'chutz el manichin shtei yirius zu al gav zu v'tofrin. Right, bekeifel asui kazebi basic baizim v'chutz, that they just sew it like we would think, like flat, one on top of another, and just sew it, right? So, of a hayanir elisha yoser tov, he says, and it appears to me, this is the questioner saying, I think it's better, right? The whole davar l'gagul chazik, that it's going to be stronger that way, and it's better to roll that way, meaning it's, right, sometimes you look at a Sefer Torah, or a Megillah from the top, so you could see the, like, sort of the, where the folds are, right? And it's not as neat. So veheshiv gam ani ra'isi esavi marizal shetafar sefer Torah pasher kasafta. So he answers. The Rush says that yeah, I also saw my father. I don't know who the Rush's father was. My father also had a sefer Torah like that, like you're describing. Ach besvarim hachitzonim yeshi yesh latofra mibachutz. But in the outer svarim. Not sure what he means by Adar Svarim.
He means like the Megillas, no?
Right, that's what he means. Right, the Hainu Mesecha Sofrim, the Habesamach Sav, Mashakasu Mesecha Sofrim, Lutofrim, Mibuchutz. Right, but he says in the Sofrim Hakitzorim, meaning the Mesecha Sofrim, meaning that's the source, Yeshi Yesh Lutofrim, Mibuchutz. Right, V'tfira Mibuchutz. It talks about sewing it on the outside. V'tfira Mibuchutz, he yoser nai. He says, and the truth is, that's nicer. Why? Because then you can't see the strings on the inside. And it looks like one klaf. And he says, "Va'tofrim kasher kasafta daitam bezeh shama she'amru l'tofrim yivachutz l'mu'utish lo tofrim b'fnim ke'ein tfiras chutz ki zeh meguna biyoser." He says it could be that what it means by sewing on the outside means that you shouldn't sew on the inside like you would on the outside. Meaning when you sew on the outside, when you're sewing the right, so you see the backs folded out like that. Don't do that on the inside, right? Don't do it so that you'll have these extra layers on the inside. That's what he says would be a problem. He says to do it the way that you describe, it's okay. He says, it could be that what the Mesecha Sofrim wasn't talking about sewing it in the first place. He was only talking about sewing it when you have a tear and you have to re-sew it. So make sure you sew it around the letters. Don't sew it through the letters. So then he says, come on. He says, that doesn't make sense. He says, that's pretty obvious that you don't want to sew through the letters. Right? That doesn't make any sense. Rather, it's like, so originally he thinks that what the Mesecha Sofrim is referring to is sewing on the outside. But the Rush does leave room to say that there are those that have the minhag do on the inside. Doesn't sound like he would postulate it as a result. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch lists off these things. He says, "Ein tofrin sefer Torah el begidei behema." He says, "Don't sew a sefer Torah." Back onto page one, except for
by
with.
By the way, it's not working on the left side either. You got to be in the middle. Sorry, can't hear you on the left.
I realize. I think with the microphone, I need to have it on before I start, which I forgot to do. But maybe the microphone.
It may not be catching on.
Let's see if I can. Oh. No.
Weird. You may have to switch microphones on the Zoom.
Right. Yeah, it needs... okay. Anyways...
By the way, the father of the Rush, I think the father of the Rush was named Rabbi Chiel, and I think he was a student of Rav Rottenberg. I could be wrong. I remember.
That's the Rav Yechiel was the Rush's father? Take a quick, see if we can get to pull that up here. I think you're right, his name was Yechiel, but I'm not sure if he was the Rav Asher ben Yechiel, 144. I know, I would think he would want to be called Rashi then, but, all right. Anyways, Rav Asher studied under his older brother, Chaim Soloveitchik, who became the most important disciple of the Maharam himself. He's talking about the Rush, was a prominent rabbinic family, which traced the ancestry to Ravon Rush, exceeded Maram Rudenberg, following the Rindfleisch Masters. Okay, so it doesn't mention his father other than saying he's from a rabbinical family.
He
himself was a Talmud of the Maram Rudenberg. Right, that's why the Rush ran away from Germany. Maram Rudenberg was captured, and then the Maram Rudenberg warned him. He says, after I die, you're going to be next. So that's why the Rush left Germany. Okay, I see Sam found the Gidden Wikipedia article or something.
It's from hasofer.com.
Ah, okay, 2-ply thread. The Gidden is used for sewing tefillin, while thicker Gidden is used for sewing together the parchment of Sefer Torah. Oh, I don't know, maybe I should get additional Gidden then. I don't know, I've been using the same tefillin Gidden for both. Okay, so, All right, so what else? Below Yidfor Kol Yiriyah Mirosh. So then he Vigidi Behema Olchayah Tahorim. Below Yidfor Kol Yiriyah Mirosh LeSofa. Nor should you do the entire part from top to bottom. Yaniach Barosh Maat. Rather leave a little bit on top. Uvesofa Maat Shelo Yet Tafur. That wouldn't be so tight. V'chol Hashar Yet Tafur. But the rest should be sewn. Mirosh V'Yatzof from the top to the bottom. V'Yidfor Mibuchutz and sew it from the outside. Yeah. Right. So the Shach here quotes the Bach in the second half of the Shach. Even the Eino Ela Takanas Chacham because Yishlo Yikra Sefer Torah Bahachi Lo Mifsol Sefer Torah. That because this is only a Takanas Chacham, that the Sefer Torah not tear, so it's not going to pass the Sefer Torah in this way. V'chein Pirish Aran, and that's what the Beis Yosef quotes, and the Shach says that that's seems to be giving that its stamp, his stamp of approval. Right, and then the Shach here adds in Yaniach Barosh. You should leave a space on the top. Sorry, not the Shach. The Pisrei Tshuva on the bottom. He says B'sefer B'nei Yonah. We keep seeing this B'nei Yonah quote in the Pisrei Tshuva. Still don't know. Haven't figured out who that was. He B'shem Mishal Shuvs Imri Noam. The Gam Osa Hamanichim Matlis Miachurei Hatfar. So if you look at most Sefer Torah, so not only do they have are the panels sewn together, but they also put a matlis on the back. A matlis is a piece of parchment, essentially, on the back, right? That's what you'll see. So he says that l'chazek yosef tzrichim gamkein laniach shiur. That says even if you're doing that, you still have to leave the space. But then he says you should still leave the space. Yeah, that even if you have it strengthened, it's still ideal to leave the space. The ain't tsarach, however, likach devek kusher, liosan ha-matlios. He says, however, just another halach about those matlios. He says, by the way, you don't need a kosher glue. I don't know what they made their glue out of back in the day, but you don't need a kosher glue, says the Pisrei Tshuva. It could be, yeah, I don't know. Kivin she'ein bo chiyuv v'chol ha'nasa l'tosefes chizuk v'einu min hadin ein tzarech liyos min hamutar b'ficha. Is anything that's just added for strength but isn't required min hadin, so doesn't have to be from that which is mutar b'ficha, that which you would be edible, that which you can eat. So here at least you see a makor for adding glue, which actually has a ram. I'm not sure if this is the source. But when they started sealing the tefillin, right? So the old style tefillin, well, that's not a good example, right? But the older tefillin, right? So when you right, there was just holes on the bottom, right? They would sew and you could see the spaces, right? So the newer tefillin, the gassos, they started making it so that you don't see the spaces anymore. So how do you get the tefillin in or out? So there is still a space there. They just cover it up. And the way that they cover, the way that they seal it is that they put a little layer of glue around the outside. And they dust from the ritzuos and from other things, whatever dust the sofer has collected. So they put dust around it so that it's kind of tefillin material, and then they put and then they paint on top of it. Right, that's the way that it's that's done. So some raise the taina against that. I believe the Chazon Ish wasn't so for doing it because you're adding glue. Why are you allowed to add glue? So the main assumption for it being kosher is that you sew it shut first, and once it's sewn shut, you can't pull it apart under normal circumstances. So the glue isn't really being used to enhance the tefillin, the structure of the tefillin. It's really just being used as a base for the paint to be able to be placed on. So that's why I think everybody except for the Chazon Ish holds that they're okay. But at least here you see that there's a source for using glue even within the structure of the Sefer Torah, so long as it's held together by the Giddin, you could put glue on top. I remember in Phoenix very early on, I think one of those matlases came off that was holding the Torah together. So at that time, I called Rabbi Lazdun, Alei HaShalom, who was the sofer in Washington Heights, who I think I bought a few mezuzahs from when I got married. So I called him, like, well, what do I do? What do I do? Like, I'm all freaking out. There's not a sofer for 300 miles near here. So he said, you know, calm down. You know, I'll send you a matlas and the patch, and you'll just put it on. You'll put it on the back. I said, how do I connect it? He's like, well, you use glue. was like, glue, like the special Safra's glue? He's like, yeah, we call it Elmer's, you know? So that would be, so anyways, that's how that's attached. All right, so I had bees prepared, but about sewing on about the Atzei Chaim and sewing on there, a little bit of machlokas about these, the necessity of these Gidden, but anyways, maybe that's enough for tonight. Yes, Hashem will pick up next week. So anyways, as you look through your Megillah, you'll be able to see some of these details, why it's sewn on the back and the Gidden that are there, etc. All right? Yeah.
Taking shavings from the box and they're mixing it with glue and they're injecting it into the kotel to keep some of the rocks from falling out.
Wow, okay. But they're taking, I mean, they're shaving the rocks from the kotel or from...
Yeah, limestone rocks. There's a lot of rocks. And they're from the rock, I don't know if it's from the...